Hello.
And welcome
to My Favorite Murder.
The Minions Toast.
The Minion. We're going to talk about minions only.
This is your central space for mini minion Listen, conversations.
We need to make some money. And so Minions offered us fucking $10 and to do an episode strictly about minions. And we said yes.
We said we'll do those weird little voices. We'll put on those overalls. We'll have one eye.
And Why we're not, not even being taped. We're doing it anyways.
I've watched those movies with Nora.
They're so cute.
So many times. They're genuinely hilarious movies. Yeah. They're genuinely
shocked.
Great.
I was so bored and I was probably high. And I put the first one on and I was like, oh, I was going to make fun of this. And it's darling.
Wait, what is the actual movie called?
Despicable Me.
Despicable.
I knew
you'd
know
Steven.
It.
I knew you'd know it.
Despicable Me. And there's our $10. We've earned it.
Yeah,
and this
we
is
did it.
Episode.
But part one, two, and I'm assuming three, because one and two, I can stand by and say that is turn that on. You'll enjoy yourself.
Absolutely. I agree. And cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Oh, my God. Feel the dollar bills pile up. Hey, happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God. It's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
That's so nice. I forgot.
Do you know what I did?
Huh?
Here's my confession for Valentine's
Please do.
Day. Nora was having a fundraiser, a See's Candy fundraiser.
Okay, these are the words I want in my life more.
Okay, good, because you're about to have them in your life. I bought 12 boxes of See's Candy heart-shaped boxes, Valentine's boxes, for everybody at Exactly Right. And then just left them in the box on the counter, completely forgot about them. And then I was like, well, what am I supposed to fucking drive all over the place? I should have sent them in the mail.
Jay.
That was going to be my idea. Is like, you know, happy Valentine's Day, love, George and Karen. That
I was going to
original
say,
plan.
Hey, since I'm the other half of Exactly Right, can I get a name on there?
Of course.
Oh, thank
course.
You.
You're going to be in there. There's a chance, though, that I've opened a couple and eaten only the because it is like a it's not nuts and chews. It's the mixed.
Yes.
So I don't like, I would say 3/4 of what's in there.
Vince and I definitely there's a rift in this household of nuts and chews or assorted. Oh. And I'm a definitely assorted. He's a nuts and chews.
Guys, if you don't know what assorted, I knew you were going to say assorted.
Because I love the. OK, I know this isn't Minnesota. We're not supposed to be talking about shit. But guys, if you don't live,
hold on a second. Yes, we are. Okay. This is our well, who are the people? Who are the people
That's right.
that listen to podcasts and then go on social media to say, I don't like when they talk on the
they
podcast.
They didn't do it my way.
Go away and start your own podcast.
Definitely.
Where you say hello and you immediately start reading out of Murderpedia. Go do that.
Yep.
Please.
Wishing you well. Goodbye. Good luck. Get laid. Get fucked. here. So if you don't know, if you live in the Midwest or something and have never been to L.A. or through the airport in California, See's Candy is the best fucking chocolates I've ever had in my entire life. Like
the best.
They're never not on our Hanukkah dessert table. It's just like the fucking thing. It's the thing.
It's a perfect gift. If you don't know what to get people at Christmas, you get the 2-pound box of either assorted or nuts and chews, depending on your personality.
If you're a fucking monster or not. And then if you don't know what to bring to a party, you don't want to bring a bottle of wine or whatever, everyone loses their shit over a box of See's Candy.
It's genuinely great. And their caramels, that's mostly what I'm in it for, because their caramels are
ridiculous.
So insanely perfect.
Another 10 bucks. There we go. Another plug.
You're welcome, Mary C., who is a feminist icon.
That's right.
Good old Mary C. on the front of every box.
That's right.
I'm going to come out of COVID with Mary C.'s haircut. She has like the total 30s finger wave, but it's gray.
Because it's old gray. School. Right.
And she has her circular glasses and a beautiful shawl.
Yep.
Has anyone ever gone as Mary C. for Halloween? If you have, may we please Mary C. you?
Oh, my.
Please.
Good one.
That would be the best idea.
Yeah, you just carry around a box and you give people chocolates. Because when you go in their stores in the mall, you immediately get a free sample of a chocolate.
That's right.
So if you just
the reason,
Karen,
if you have See's Candy at your local mall, and if you do, us explaining this to you is stupid. But if you do, the reason the line is long oftentimes is not because people are having to get those 1 and 2 pound boxes right. of candy. It's because they're up there like, I'll take some of the molasses chips because they're it's for free.
Right. Or if you go like when you were in like high school, it'd be like, I want a free chocolate. I can't afford chocolate. So you go in there and buy one of their suckers or lollipops, which are delicious for like a buck. And then you also get a free chocolate.
Yeah.
And then I love it. I love that place.
It's old fashioned hometown.
That's right.
It's good times.
That's right.
But on a later podcast, we'll discuss. Mm. I wonder where C's is and isn't. If it's like a West Coast thing, if it's Pacific Northwest and
South. I've only seen it in California.
But here's how I know that it's further than that. Because I one year bought a 2 pound box of C's candy to my boyfriend at the time's mother, who lived in Oregon, thinking it was this amazing gift mm-hmm. of like, let me bring
local
the candy of my people. Yes. Yeah, yeah. And I got off the plane and there's a C's thing, like a C's kiosk right outside my gate. So I was like, here's a thing that you can get too. It was like, I brought her a big box of M&Ms. There you go. Enjoy this rare candy.
Oh, and that's why it didn't work out, I feel like.
And that's why we had to let that relationship go.
That's right. End it. Parents. That's another conversation for another time.
It is the worst.
That's the worst.
Do you want to go first this week?
Sure. Why not? Let's change it up. It's Valentine's Day.
It's Galentine's Day.
Galentine's Day. This is called Science Teacher, Just a Good Old Gal. Hello, podcasters and podcast listeners. Good one.
Hello.
This is a story about my high school AP biology teacher. We will call her Dr. Benson. For one, everyone in my school called her Dr. Lucy in a condescending way. That was her first name. And we'd always say, you know, Lucy, as in Lucifer.
Oh, yeah.
This starts out bad and gets better. She was a tough old girl weighing in at no more than 110, soaking wet and standing at a ferocious 5 feet even. She could scare literally any 6 foot tall high school boy with one glance. Mm-hmm. Might I mention, this woman is almost 80 years old and still hasn't stopped teaching.
Yes.
Anyway, Dr. Benson had a reputation for going off on tangents about her own life. In fact, the 5 students of our AP biology class, all girls, go girls, she said, were many times able to get her to go down rabbit trails to avoid taking quizzes.
Yes.
Yes. Dr. Benson, please tell us about your lives because we didn't study.
Dr. Benson, did you have sarsaparilla when you were growing up? Tell us all about it.
Tell us about hanging out with Mrs. C's candy. What was that like?
What was Mary C like as a rebellious teen?
She told us all about her first love, who was a man in the Navy who ended up with her best friend.
Ouch.
Both of them later ended up dying on the bed together, the notebook style. That was true love.
Yeah,
She told us how she got her doctorate in animal science, wrestling cows and pigs. Yes, a 5 foot tall woman wrangling cattle is still the funniest thing I've ever imagined. Mm-hmm. So many stories, but there was one I want to share in this email. When she was 17 years old, she was a clerk for a gas station in her hometown. One time she was alone counting out the money and about to close up shop. Just then a large burly man with a ski mask and a gun walked in.
Oof.
The first thing Dr. Benson said to him was, "Hey, we don't actually have cameras and I have a terrible memory, so you can just skip the whole I'm a scary masked man bit." This took him aback with so much fuck you energy that he actually took off the mask and demanded the money. It distracted him just enough for Dr. Benson to have enough time to grab, and this is all caps, her personal shotgun that she kept in the store to point at him.
Oh.
Yes, this small 17-year-old brought her dad's shotgun with her to every shift for this exact moment.
Hell yeah.
The guy ended up just running out, and Dr. Benson closed up shop as usual. Also, the gas station did have one camera, so it did capture his face.
Yeah, it did.
And the guy got arrested for attempted robbery.
Mm-hmm.
She said she didn't know what happened after that, to the guy, but I can imagine he felt a little emasculated having been beaten out by a 5 foot tall 17 year old girl.
Mm-hmm.
Stay sexy and don't ever try to fight small people, Olive. And then it says, P.S. If you want the story of the time she stopped someone who was assaulting her husband, just let me know. I have got far too many stories about this amazing woman. Write Olive. Her fucking biography immediately.
But in the meantime, Olive, send that story in. Put your name, Olive, in the subject line because we'll pull that immediately.
Absolutely.
Because unless you're a ghost, how are you a person from today who's named Olive? Unbelievable.
Lauren and Kurt Braunohler from our podcast network and Lauren, our friend, their daughter's name is Olive, which is
it's coming back.
It's the best.
Come on back, Olive.
I was a little mad that I couldn't name my cat that because I have a friend whose daughter's name is Olive. That would just be rude, right?
I hope you really got in their face about it.
Fuck. And then their other kid, their son's name is Gus, which is the other best cat's name in the world. And you're like, what? Wow. Why are you doing that? Maybe I shouldn't be friends with them anymore.
Yeah, so maybe you should break up with them as a couple. Isn't Gus the hot tub cat's name?
Yes.
Gus.
But he was before them. So it's okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Here's my first one. Hi, friends. This is a creepy neighbor story. I don't remember if you asked for that, but let's assume you did. I'm sure we did. When I lived in Salt Lake City, my husband and I lived in a row home that was only four houses long. I don't know what that is. You know what I'm guessing? Yeah. It's a house that's stuck to three other houses.
Okay. Or like in New York, how they have the railroad homes. And then it's like that, where they're just like straight, narrow, but then the rooms break off. Hold on a second. Oh, look at Steven showing us row
Got
homes.
It. Thank you, Steven. Yeah. So they're houses that are just right next to each other.
Smashed together. Yeah.
Got it. All right. So our next door neighbor was a 50-ish year old guy named Earl. He was single, worked at the gas station next to our house, so was always outside his house smoking and hanging with people he met at the station.
What?
I was walking to my car one day, not long after I moved in, and he stopped me and asked if I wanted to come inside to see his, quote, extensive butcher knife collection.
What the fuck?
And went on to say he loved to sneak up on people and come at them slasher style as a joke. I politely said no thank you and to never ever do that to me.
Oh, there
That's
are
right, boundaries.
All red flags in this
neighbor
entire.
Boundaries.
Oh my God.
Okay. Fast forward to 3 years later, still living at the same place. I was coming home on the bus from work like I do every day. It was a local bus route with the same people, and I thought it was odd that a guy I didn't recognize got on and off at the exact same stops I did. Mm-hmm. I decided to take a weird route home to see if he was in fact following me or if I was paranoid. I made a ton of random turns that looped back on itself, and he still followed me about 20 steps behind me. I went to call my husband and realized my phone was dead. And then in parentheses, a common occurrence for me.
Mm.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
My husband worked later in the evening and I realized I was being followed while walking to my house where I would be alone with a dead phone. So my panic brain drove me in a direction that I didn't expect, straight to my creepy neighbor Earl's front door.
Oh.
He opened the door and I told him some dude was following me. And without skipping a beat, he said, I'm on it, and came out of the house with, you guessed it, a butcher knife
Earl.
In one hand and a taser in the other.
Earl.
The guy following was loitering behind a tree in front of my driveway and ditched quick after seeing Earl in all his knifed up glory.
But
Earl sat in front of my door with his knife and taser, despite my protests, until my husband came home 2 hours later.
I'm fucking crying.
It's the cutest. Oh, George is full on crying. you love the twist of Earl, huh?
Well, first of all, I feel guilty that I was like, he's the problem. You know what I mean? And now I'm like,
sure.
When you need someone in a moment, like I'll never. There, can I just say the story real quick?
Yes.
And I was like 21. I had my first car and it fucking, of course, died in the middle of a busy intersection. And I don't know how to do car things because I'm 21 and I'm just standing out there crying and people are honking at me. The only person who got out of their car to help me was this enormous, fully tatted up, scary dude. And he saw me crying. He pushed my car out of the way. He gave me his card because he was a tattoo artist, it turned out. And I was just like, he was the only person who stopped to help me. So that's giving me those vibes. And I find that very lovely.
I mean, that is a beautiful story. And I think, here's the thing, Earl was giving off red flag vibes. Yes. You weren't wrong to say it, because okay. we all need to go over it time and again, where it's like, yeah, sometimes when people collect weapons, that means ultimately they would like to hurt people. But what we're learning from this story is it doesn't mean that they want to hurt the wrong people.
Right.
It's like Earl was a secret hero waiting for his moment and is with his butcher knives to shine.
However, I feel like her instinct not to go inside his house was the right one too.
Yes. But also, that's just good neighbor politics. You don't want to be up in your neighbor's house.
Yes.
You don't want to. Good fences make good neighbors. You just keep your distance. Stay likable by staying far away.
Amazing.
That's what makes it all work. Okay. So
sorry. Go ahead.
Husband came home 2 hours later. Anyway, I don't know if the moral of the story is trust your creepy neighbors or charge your fucking phones or who the fuck knows. Stay sexy and start collecting butcher knives, Aaron.
Wonderful instincts. Beautiful instincts. Yes.
I think that was, it's nice to have it's like a silver lining story happen every once in a while.
It's also our friend Neil Mahoney, who was one of the most wonderful people anyone who's ever met him has met, collected switchblades and knives. And he just passed away like a month ago.
Yeah.
And everyone's devastated. And it made me think of him too. And like he could have creepy neighbor vibes if you didn't know him, except he was kind of hot. But
he was hot and he had shy guy vibes, which actually only adds to, it doesn't take away from, in my opinion, it adds to.
Absolutely.
Also, he listened to this podcast, and as we got popular with it, he sent me one of the loveliest notes about how watching this happen to us was like watching two girls like win the lottery and buy all the roller skates and gumballs they wanted. It was like Aww. The cutest, loveliest.
And he worked on Mr. Show, so he knew you from the beginning.
I've known him for a long time.
Yeah.
He was my secret crush for a long time.
Yeah.
It's very fucking sad. The idea that we lost Neil Mahoney, of all people, is a goddamn tragedy.
It's
just wrong.
It is. So that kind of made me, like, yes, tear up from that. This one's called, if let's bring it back up. This one's called okay. My Dad Tased Phil Spector.
Okay.
Here I had to go. Read that because it's a spoiler, but it's also the best. Okay.
Yes.
Hi, Georgia, Karen, Steven, and all furry friends. It's inclusive. I like that. I've been mm-hmm. wanting to write into you for the longest time about my, quote, connection with Phil Spector. My dad was a police officer in Southern California for almost 25 years and was one of the officers who responded to the 911 call after he shot and killed Lana Clarkson.
Mm.
Spector was resisting arrest, which I didn't know. And my dad was the one who tased him.
Wow.
I was 8 at the time and was extremely fascinated that my dad tased a celebrity. And I told everyone I could until I was told to stop telling people. Hashtag oops. An 8-year-old being like, hey, my dad tased. Okay. I remember watching the trial on TV as a kid and how they had to blur out my dad's name and face for privacy. He was actually asked to stand up so people could see his height and weight, and it was questioned why he even had a tase specter. Maybe because he had just killed someone? Question mark. My mom actually attended the trial one day and said Specter turned around and stared at her, and she got instant chills. When I told my dad about your podcast and how I wanted to write in with the story and suggested to cover Phil Spector, he replied with, why? That piece of shit doesn't deserve any more publicity.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, when Spector died a few weeks ago, my dad's response was fucking finally. Thanks for all the stories that keep me entertained when I drive from Arizona to California to visit my family. I've turned my boyfriend into a murderino, and we've bonded over our interest in true crime. I'm really glad my knowledge of serial killers hasn't scared him away yet. SSDGM, Kelsey.
Kelsey, nice job. Okay, here's, I'm not going to read you the subject line of this one.
Right.
Because it is it's a giveawayer. Hey, Karen, Georgia, Steven, and all the amazing fur babies. So just immediately trying to start a fight with me right at the beginning. I went to an engineering university where our primary focused study is aerospace engineering.
Mm.
among all of the smart technical people, here I was, an art major. I always felt like an outcast, but some of the headlines my university makes made me feel more normal than I ever felt. From a chemistry professor throwing a class-made bomb into our pond, to a professor shooting at a group of her colleagues because she didn't get tenure.
Ooh,
that's the one I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to pretend like I knew this, but Stephen actually just read it to us. University of Alabama at Huntsville is where I'm guessing this person went to college.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Right? Because I did the story of Amy Bishop, who shot a bunch of people point blank in a meeting.
Horrible.
Horrifying. Okay. My university keeps me shaking my head. What takes the cake, though, is when mysterious silver boxes chained down to benches started randomly appearing around campus. No one reported it. However, someone eventually did report the mysterious boxes, and suddenly the bomb squad descended upon our campus. Carefully, they blow up one of the boxes, only to find
kittens?
A plane.
Oh.
What?
Kittens?
What? No.
Okay, good.
Whew. A playing card inside.
What?
As these policemen stood there in confusion, a LARPing group, live action role playing, came to tell police that these mysterious silver boxes were part of a game they were all playing for their quote unquote quest.
Guys!
The police were not amused and instructed them to go around campus and remove the boxes from all their locations. So long story short, LARPing isn't unusual at my university, but our police department draws the line at LARPing games that involve mysterious silver boxes.
Fair enough!
Right? That
are
chained.
Yeah!
Like, think it through.
It couldn't be, like, unless you had put crime scene tape around them, it couldn't have been more ominous.
Yes. That's, no one wants that shit.
That's ridiculous.
A locked box in a public place.
Yeah. It's like, if you see something, say something. Remember that quote and don't be the person who puts a thing there that someone has to see it and say
it.
That's
the seeing part. Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't make people say things about the thing they can see. Thank you so much for being an awesome podcast to listen to. You always seem to brighten my day while keeping me aware of horrible people.
Yeah.
Much love, Sabrina.
Sabrina. Who fucking knew? I feel like you should be loud and proud about your art student status, because
that's
it could be so much worse, as everyone at your school has shown or something. My last one is just hometown story. Oh, and maybe I picked it because of the opening. Maybe not. Hi to all, but especially Cookie. Mm-hmm. Hello. When I heard your call for stories about hippie parents who went on to do good in the world, I knew it was my chance to write in. I don't remember that. Do you, Karen?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great.
It's the woman who, remember, the mom worked for missing and murdered Indigenous women?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. My parents, Lori and Mel, met in the 1970s when they were both attending a non-traditional program at the University of Montana. One December night, they were hanging out at the train yard with their mutual friend, Joel, as one apparently does in small town Montana. They decided to take a look inside one of the freight trains. One thing led to another, and the train took off.
Oh.
Joel bailed after a day or two. But my parents spent the next month riding the rails like old-timey hobos and ended up falling in love.
Oh,
I know.
Yep.
When they finally made it back to Montana, they moved into a teepee with about 20 friends. And then it says in parentheses, it was the 70s, and I'm sure my very white parents were less aware of cultural appropriation than they would be now. So they started planning for their future. And while my mom had planned to become a nutritionist, my dad talked her into going to medical school. She eventually became a pediatrician and went on to start a program where she provided medical care to all of the foster kids in Denver, Colorado.
Oh.
She never told me much about the kids she'd work with, and I won't share any other stories because they're not mine to tell. But I will say that it's inspiring that after 30 years of seeing some really fucked up shit, she still believes in the inherent goodness of people. She fucking provided medical care to all the foster kids in Denver. That's saintly. My mom is also known for her understated, dry sense of humor. She's given me great advice like, quote, if a man who has been divorced twice tries to get you to move onto a boat with him, just say no. which I like.
Very specific.
Uh-huh. And, quote, sometimes things seem bad, but you just get used to them and then they get worse. She gave me that second bit of advice in January 2020. So she's a fucking, what's it
visionary.
Called? Visionary and a fucking predictor of the future.
Yep.
Stay sexy and be careful who you hang out with in the train yard because you might fall in love. Love, Hannah. And Hannah's pronouns are she, her.
A lovely romantic story. It reminds me of like in college when you all go to a Denny's after like an event and you end up sitting at that Denny's for like 4 hours laughing your ass off and talking. But then you realize after a while, this used to be one of my favorite things to talk about is after a while you start to understand that energy that everyone is, I mean, and this is very theater student, typical thing I'm talking about, but you realize after a while, the energy is actually coming from two people that have a crush on each other.
Oh.
That they're the reason that everyone's there. Those two people want to be around each other, but are nervous. And so everyone else is there hanging out and having fun, but there's an energy between two people that is like everyone else is feeding.
And they're like, it's the only way they can break down their boundaries enough to be the funny. Yeah, like you want to be around your friends with the person you have a crush on, because that way you can be yourself and they see you, what you're really like, because you're so fucking nervous and terrified.
The pressure. Yes, exactly. Like the pressure is lessened. And so it's like the three of them were hanging out in the train yard, you know, casual, no big deal.
Yeah.
Then they're like, oh, it'd be funny if we all got on this thing. But her parents were basically like, I'll get on this train and stay on it forever
and
with
two
you.
2 to 3 days, Joel was like, this isn't going to happen for me.
This is stupid. And now we're like four counties away from, how am I going to get back home?
That's right.
He's like, I'm not going to be making out with either of you. So I am out
of
here.
So peace. And then just jump. I can just picture him just jumping and rolling.
He did it. From
Throw Mama Off the Train.
When he said Jimmy Crack Corn, where the guy finally is like, I can't sing Jimmy Crack Corn anymore. Get me out of here. Oh, train life. All right. Are you ready for the last one?
Always.
I'm not going to read you the subject line. Okay. Although it's funny. Hi, Karen, Georgia, and Steven. Hi.
Hi.
I'm writing in because you all requested embarrassing stories, and although my life is full of them, this one from my high school career ascends to a level beyond.
Mm, bring it.
Lucky for you, I've resorted to thinking about high school. I've resorted to thinking about high school as some distant fictional comedic farce, which makes it palatable to repeat to strangers.
Everyone try that. Everyone try. It's a not yet written chapter in your memoirs.
Yes.
So just start practicing telling it.
There's to be able to begin to transition out of bitterness, rage, and pain from high school and take this person's plan of thinking about it as some distant fictional comedic farce is like a life plan.
It is. And everyone know who's in their 20s right now, you're going to also do that with your 20s. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. As a person in their 50s, let me just tell you, this whole thing, this is the way you do all of life. All of it. Just like Kelsey's mom said, it just keeps getting worse. So
True.
You have to like be developing this constant idea of like, isn't that hilarious when I went into foreclosure?
I always feel like that girl did this. Like I refer to myself at 35 as that girl was fucking crazy.
That girl? Oh my God. I'd never hang out with her again.
That Georgia?
It was me.
It was not me. Yeah.
Okay, I'm from a town outside Nashville, Tennessee called Brentwood. For a majority of my high school career, I was going through a very angsty, misunderstood phase. Mm. Aside from the fact that I played on the rugby team, I kept my internal aggression to myself, except for by accident, one fateful Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Our high school was hyped up for the football game that night. So naturally, after the last bell rang, the teens flooded into the hallways with increased amounts of shoving and crowding. Mm. I was navigating the chaos as usual, my hands full of books and my mind full of numbness and apathy. That's right. That's how you do it. It was at this moment that the urge to yawn overcame me. With my hands full, I couldn't cover my mouth, which I thought was fine. Spoiler. It was not fine. Immediately after the yawn began, one of the football players, who was probably about 6'5", rounded the corner with his arms outstretched like an eagle over the crowded hallway. I saw it coming and tried to end the yawn prematurely, but it was too late. Which also, you can't end a yawn prematurely.
You'll never look chill trying to end a yawn.
Also, your muscles are set in such a way where you have to finish the yawn. You can't just like snap it back closed.
You'll die.
But it was too late. By the time his arm reached my face, it fit into my mouth perfectly, almost like a puzzle piece. I didn't have time to feel anything other than disgust and horror as I reflexively bit down on his arm.
This is his fault so far. I just want to go entirely on record.
I mean, it's very football player-y to just like fly like an eagle. First of all, it must be fun to be 6'5".
Absolutely.
You're up above all the other teams. Yeah. You don't have to look straight into anyone's acne-ridden, sad, apathetic face. Mm-hmm. You're up there flying like an eagle. It's the big night. Yeah. The game's coming. As I quickly unlatched, the crowd carried the two of us in opposite directions, not giving any time to acknowledge what just happened. And looking back, I am incredibly thankful for the surge of sports testosterone that filled the hallways in that moment. Otherwise, I might have made eye contact with the guy and died of embarrassment. Anyway, thank you for all the laughs.
No, there's not more. I want more.
They got away with it. Basically, big yawn, then like arm appetizer, and then just... never the twain shall meet. They're two ships passing in the night. It could have been love, but instead it was just like tasted your arm and then walked away.
If this guy, we're going to call him Chad. If Chad is a murderino and he's hearing this, you need to write your side of the story in immediately of Chad, what you thought.
Did you go to high school in Brentwood, Tennessee? Were you a 6'5" football player? Do you remember that fateful Friday afternoon of the big game?
Could you not play because you had a fucking wound? What if like, it changed his entire trajectory in life because he was going on to university to be like the fucking star quarterback or whatever, and he got bit and it fucking...
What if he had... It's the day of the big game. So he got high in the bathroom right before last period.
And he was flying.
And so he's super high. He is flying like an eagle. Ooh, this is so cool. I'm so high. He gets bit. Suddenly the drugs turn on him, as drugs will. And he's like, oh my God, there is a zombie outbreak. And then he's freaking out for the rest of the night. He doesn't play in the football game.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to have a really successful career and very satisfying.
Because he would have become a drug head and he didn't, because he was like, well, I'm never doing it. That was like his trigger to be like, I'm not doing drugs. Cause he would have moved, you know, gateway drugs or thing.
He was definitely on his way to gateway.
That's right. However, I really wish this had been a that's how we fell in love story.
Because they
still can be
his arm fit into her mouth.
Oh,
when does that ever happen?
Oh, like a puzzle piece. She said
like a puzzle, like a heart shaped puzzle piece.
Listen, maybe they're both divorcees. They've had their like
Brentwood High. When you have your 25th anniversary reunion, what's it called?
Anniversary, right? Birthday. When you have your 25th birthday.
As a high school, when you have your big high school birthday.
What if he had a crush on her the whole time and he had been wanting to ask her out? And then he was coming around. He was like, you're an eagle, man. You can fucking do this. And then she bit him.
She bit him. And then he was like, that's kind of a sign that she's not into
me. If she liked me, she wouldn't have bit down on my arm.
She wouldn't have bit me?
Right. Mm. Or I fucked this up because I put my like if you're 6'5" in high school, you've hit puberty and you have a hairy arm. And he's like, I stuck my hairy fucking arm in my crush's mouth.
What if separate from the romance we're projecting onto this, what if it was just a thing where he never lifted his arms again ever? Like that's like a new fear he has where he's just like, I can't put my arms out.
He was trying to get the nickname the Eagle, and that day it died.
When he saw the movie Titanic, he screamed so loud in the theater that he had to leave.
He was very triggered by Titanic. Oh my God. We did it.
Wait, there's more to this.
Oh, wow. Shit.
Anyway, thank you for all the laughs and the real talk moments surrounding mental health. Your podcast has helped me more than you know.
Oh,
a smiley face with a colon and a closed parentheses. SDGM.
SDGM?
SDGM. No, I don't know if it's no stay or no sexy, but yeah. Just SDGM. And don't ever yawn without being up to date on your rabies vaccine, Allison.
Allison, thank you.
Wonderful that. Story, Allison.
Thank you for letting us riff, giving us a chance to finally riff.
Allison, thank you for letting us be a part of your biting story. If you've got a biting story or a fly like an eagle story
or
that you want
to
share
Joe Biden
with us,
story, even. Please send us. Do you have a rabies story? I remember that in the 80s, rabies was a real thing to be scared about.
That's because Cujo was such a wonderful film.
Wonderful film.
And partially shot in Petaluma.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a part in Cujo where they're driving to the mechanic's house. Uh-huh. And it's how we used to go home to and from school. It's Bodega Avenue.
Yeah.
And when I saw it in the movie, I was just like, we've made it.
Yes, you have.
We're stars.
My brother in high school, he was on a bad track. And he had a movie with my dad. And my dad was like, every boy needs a dog to get responsible with. And so he got my brother. They went to the rescue and there was a puppy and they took him home and he was the sweetest, dumbest dog you've ever met. He brought my cat the ball once to like throw the ball. Like he was just so sweet and stupid. And my brother named him Cujo because he was an angsty teen with a fucking bad attitude. And this dumb, sweet baby was named Cujo. He was our like childhood dog.
That's hilarious.
Write your fucking, we don't care what the story is. We won't remember even asking for it. So just write it in.
We just want to hear from you. Tell us a story.
Write your future memoir stories that you're trying to get some humor around that you still can't tell anyone. You can be anonymous. Write them to us and we'll make fun of them.
Sure. Also, I think in this episode, I think there was a little undercurrent of meet cutes. If you have a good meet cute story for your relationship, whether it's like Kelsey's parents on the train or
COVID,
this imagined meet cute.
Yeah. What'd you say? Like a future, like a have you met someone in COVID that's like, oh, I never, you know what I mean?
I found someone living in the walls of my house. Finally, one of those stories.
He said his name was COVID Jack and we fell in love. Yeah, I love meet cute stories.
Yeah. If it's real, and it better, don't creepypasta us with a meet cute.
No. Are there meet cute creepypastas?
I will get so mad at you.
What a waste of time.
This minisode is almost an hour.
Oh, shit.
We got to get out of here.
All right.
Stay sexy.
And don't get murdered. Goodbye.
Elvis, do you want a cookie?